Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Amos 3 and 12. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out, that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. When the unholy ground shook, and an invisible finger of judgment dug fissures into the earth, and the smoke of hell's furnace emitted from the beneath, and the unsteady feet of sinners involuntarily dancing on shifting rocks, when the chasm appeared, and the screaming men and women fell into the sudden pit, tents vacuumed downward, every possession, every person disappeared into the abyss. And it came to pass, Numbers 16:31, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. My friend, in this setting, there was nothing left to save. When the last spike was driven, and the last portion of pitch applied, as the man of righteousness slowly walked through the door, holding his wife's hand, he peered over his shoulder to see if anyone else might heed the warning and make a last-second effort to be rescued from the washing of the world. No more came. No one else entered. And the door was closed by the hand of God. The thunder boomed. No one beckoned to get on board. The lightning electrified the distant skies, and no one else could gain entrance on the ark. The fountains of the deep broke up, and the tears of repentance could no longer bring hope. The door was shut, the rain poured, the floods arose, and all the sinners died. There was nothing left to save. When the conquering Israelites marched over the Jordan, predetermined by God to win the impossible battles and gain cities and vineyards for their own, when they encircled the indefatigable, thick-walled city of Jericho for 7 days, bringing down the defensive barrier with an arousing shout that incited a supernatural intervention, as the deconstructed city lay bare to the invading Israelites, one house had peace, the house of Rahab, decorated with a scarlet thread. But that scarlet thread was more than a nice contrasting color to the earth tones of clay and mortar. It was the thread of survival and salvation. Joshua 2:19. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. Joshua 6:17, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy in Jericho. Everyone outside the scarlet zone was killed. The dead lay among smoldering stones and small fires still burning at the end of the day, but there was no one left to save. The country of Edom was founded by Jacob's brother Esau. He picked up the nickname Edom, or Red, when he sold half of his massive inheritance for a simple bowl of red bean stew. Edom was located in the region to the southeast of Israel. Mount Seir was a notable landmark in this region. Edom and Israel, the people who descended from Jacob, never got along with each other. Skirmishes between the people happened often. Edom never got over its hatred of Israel. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation, Psalm 137:7. In other words, Edom was cheering the Babylonians on. When Israel fell because of their sins, Edom rejoiced as it fell and took the opportunity to raid the country. They even helped the Babylonians collect the stragglers left from war, according to Obadiah, verses 10 through 15. God made several prophecies against Edom, Isaiah 35, Jeremiah 49, Amos 1 and 11, and of course, the unforgettable book of Obadiah. However, the one that tells us what happened to Edom is found in Ezekiel 35. In delivering punishments to various nations, we learn that God often turns the sin against the sinner. Edom rejoiced at the emptying of Israel, and 5 years later, Nebuchadnezzar swept through again, destroying several nations and emptying their lands, including Edom. Here is what God promised Edom. Thus says the Lord God, "Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against you. I will stretch out my hand against you and make you most desolate. I shall lay your cities waste, and you shall be desolate. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, because you have had an ancient hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity. When their iniquity came to an end, therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue you. Thus I will make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it the one who leaves and the one who returns. And I will fill its mountains with the slain, on your hills and in your valleys, and in all your ravines those who are slain by the sword shall fall. I will make you perpetually desolate, and your cities shall be uninhabited. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Ezekiel 35:3-9. You see, God promised that travelers would no longer pass that way. The country would be so littered with slain people that folks would avoid the stench. But most importantly, God states that the country would never be rebuilt. Just as Edom had perpetual hatred for Israel, their country would remain perpetually empty. There would be nothing left to save. But, oh my friend, the timeless story of David and Goliath shows us the heart of a shepherd. He entertained King Saul with the idea that he could defend Israel's honor against gargantuan odds because he had done so already in private against a lion and a bear. With a lion beard and a bear rug in his collection, he guaranteed victory against his heathen interference. You see, he revealed the heart of a shepherd, not willing to let sheep be slaughtered by predatory forces of the world. He said, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear." You see, there is a shepherd who will face your bears and run after your wounded soul when the lions of hell attack. He will not write you off, but he will change the chapter from death to deliverance. He will put himself in harm's way to give you a chance. For the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He will come to save you while there is still time to make a difference, while there is something left to save. He will rescue you from the darkness and from the destruction. He will rescue you from the anxiety and the panic. He will rescue you from the brokenness, because he came to our world to set at liberty the bruised. He will take the fragments of failure in your past. He'll take the broken pieces of your present circumstances, and he'll put them together, because he loves you and he is a shepherd that wants to save you. Exodus 22:10. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. And verse 13 says, if it be torn in pieces, let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. You see, this was required by law. The law stated that which was torn didn't have to be repaid or made restitution for. It was simply a victim of beasts. But grace, my friend, goes beyond the law. Grace will take the bruised and set them at liberty. Grace will take the torn and mend it. Grace will take the rusted over and forgotten and make it new again. Grace will take the decayed and the corroded and the fragmented vessel and stun the world with its transformation. The law said you didn't have to pay for loss, but the scripture says in the New Testament that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The law said that a witness would establish the clemency of the accused, freeing him from obligation. But 1 John 5:9-10 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Oh, my friend, we live in a self-blinding world. The eyes of reason gouged out like Samson after his strength-giving hair was shaved. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The dimming ideologies of politicians and deceiving philanthropists is making it more difficult for millennials to see anything beyond their own gratification. My friend, if you can see even a silhouette of truth, a shade of grace, a distant ember of spiritual hope, come while there is something left to save. If it's broken, if it's fragmented, if it's decayed, if it's rusted over, if it's torn, if it's bruised, if it's been a victim of terrible abuse, if it's been a victim of bitterness and blasphemy, if it's been a victim of compromise, loneliness, rejection, and shame, oh, bring it to the Lord, bring it to the cross, because the shepherd wants to save you while there's something left to save. Humanists deaf and ears with pro-human, anti-God rhetoric, convincing many that an absent God is no problem at all for an almighty mankind. They flaunt the muscle of human ingenuity, flexing their abilities and notions and creativity of human engineering as though no deity ever involved itself in man's creation or formation. In an attempt to warn the nation, the Democrat congressman from Florida, Albert Herlong Jr., read into the U.S. Congressional Record, January the 10th, 1963, the list of communist goals for America. Communist goals included: eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Discredit American culture. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and divorce. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, healthy. In 1950, members of the Communist Party of the United States helped form a particular society which became one of the nation's first homosexual rights organizations and lobbied to repeal sodomy laws. Communist goals also included infiltrate churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Control schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put party line in textbooks. Control student newspapers. Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev reportedly told Ezra Benson, Eisenhower's Secretary of Agriculture, in 1959, "Your children's children will live under communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we'll keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you will finally wake up and find that you already have communism. We won't have to fight you. We'll so weaken your economy until you fall like overripe fruit into our hands." In 1961, the American Medical Association sponsored an Operation Coffee Cup campaign, which included an LP recording, "Ronald Reagan Speaks Out Against Socialized Medicine." Reagan stated, and I quote, "Now back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, 6 times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project." End quote. My friend, the bear, Russia, is rumbling in the wilderness of the end. Russia's philosophies are still within reach of American minds. Universities let this bear roam among young minds. Political deceivers let the bear hibernate in their policies. Millennials have this bear as its pet, not knowing that their passivity will soon be prey to bondage and emotional devouring. The most dangerous bear is the predatory bear who tracks you from behind. You can have a bright future in mind, but the bear of communism and socialism is going to ambush the minds of millions. It is born in atheism and empowered by anti-God policies. America needs to come to God while there's something left to save. 2 Timothy 4:17, "Notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me," Paul said, "that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Oh, that God will deliver us from the end-time devouring spirits, bears of ambushment, and lions of lies and deceit. When we go back to the text that I read at the beginning of this message, some of Amos's hearers might have objected to this announcement, insisting that somehow the Israelites would be saved. The word "saved" often described God's delivering or sparing of Israel. This revealed the mistaken belief of Amos's hearers that God would surely rescue them from such a catastrophe. To dispel this false hope, Amos repeated what the Lord said. Any saving of Israel would be like a shepherd saving a couple of leg bones or a part of an ear from the jaws of a wild animal. These little bits of rescued evidence were to prove that a shepherd had not stolen or sold one of the sheep, but that it was indeed torn by a beast of prey. The rescued shin bones and tip of an ear only proved that the rescue had come too late and that the animal was at a total loss. And so in the context of Amos's preaching, those Israelites in Samaria who dissolutely lounged on their beds and couches should not dismiss Amos's message with vague assurance of deliverance, because Israel would be savagely and totally devoured, and there would only be a few and a remnant left to save. Those on the bed speak of the lazy soul, those that ease in Zion, those who have no fear because they are too relaxed in pleasure. They have spent themselves in the lust of foreign attractions and hide themselves in the blankets of deception. It is Israel in this passage that thinks they are safe in the luxuries of Damascus. Syria will be their protection. So they slumber in silence while the lion of Assyria comes closer and closer. The lion is predatory. The lion knows its slothful prey. The lone sheep cannot escape its hungry determination. It patiently waits, crouched in the tall grass of spiritual neglect. And then it strikes. Blood rains from teeth-pierced flesh, and the reddened wool is slowly devoured in the powerful jaws of the forest's fierest foe. The roar is intimidating. The strength of the foe is unmatched. But to the shepherd, there is still worth. Not much. Most is gone. Most has been devoured. Most has been chewed up by bitterness. Most has been swallowed in offense and despair. Most has been taken away from peace and prosperity. But there is still something left to save. There is still a memory to spark, a piece of faith to inspire, a moment of conviction to incite, a power of testimony to re-engage. If truth has been lost, then there still may be a portion of Pentecost untouched in the recesses of the heart, a tucked away memory of fiery altars and all-night prayer meetings and faithful church attendance and tender spirit open moments when the presence of God could do anything. Oh, friend, when the divine shepherd finds you in the wilderness of despair, when he tracks the footprints of the beast of the world that would take you away, will he find something left to save? Is there still a remnant of revival in your soul? Is there still a Pentecostal spark that can catch flame? Is there still an inkling of love for what once drove you to seek the Lord? The miracle of mercy can find a piece of an ear still willing to listen. The grace of God can still find the piece of an ear to hear him say that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The power of his love can still find the piece of an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The restoration compassion can still find a piece of an ear to know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, my friend, the hope of God's saving arm still reaches for the piece of an ear that will listen to his voice as sheep hear his voice. Hear him call. Hear him before he comes. Hear him before the last sounds of peace are faded in the black smoke of eternity. Oh, I pray for somebody right now to hear the Lord call, that piece of an ear to hear, to listen, to know that the voice of God is real and that comfort can come no matter what condemnation that you've been facing. Let Jesus find something in you today that can be sparked and renewed in his Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Bible time. Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.